Welcome to the MegaCast.
Welcome to episode 55 of the MegaCast. We're still here after 55 episodes, which is, I guess that's got to count for fucking something, right, guys? I think maybe.
Persistence, mate, that's all.
Yeah, apparently persistence pays off. Or, I don't know, some old saying like that.
We're still here.
Welcome everyone to the podcast. I'm joined by Wilco. I'm joined by Josh. Joey's off sick tonight because he's a little pansy. And we have Skill Up is back on the podcast, a returning guest. Good evening, mate.
What is going on, gentlemen? And I use the term very loosely.
Good man.
He knows as well. He's been on here too many times.
I know.
That's true. Right. I wasn't a gentle when I kissed Wilco. So.
Ooh, that's why I got sick.
Is there a VOD of that?
Somewhere. No. Somewhere. It's like a hotguys.net.
Nice. Your brother's RedTube channel has it, I think.
My brother's one. Well, I didn't know he had his own one, so that's news to me. That's good news.
That's it.
Hopefully that monetizes better than YouTube does these days.
It actually fucking might. Realistically, if we're gonna. Anyway, we'll start off with what we've all been up to because it's been an interesting week in my world. I'm not too sure about you, Wilco. What have you been up to for the past 7 days, bud?
I've done nothing, man. Pretty much.
Oh, good. Okay, not interesting at all. Moving on.
I want to get onto the Skill Up talk because we've only got it for half an hour.
Come on. We do. We do. But we're going to ask Skill Up what he's been up to as well. So.
Okay. I've done some stuff. I've played a game called Rainbow Six Siege because I bought it on PC because it was 40% off, and I found out I'm actually not that bad at gaming. I just suck at PS4.
Lies.
No, true. So I did that, and I've been playing Situations at the moment, waiting for my crew to pick it up on PC so we can all play together. As you know, I got really angry with the world on Sunday, and I wanted to destroy it, so I played Plague Inc. on PC.
Yeah,
and
I
created Perko's Revenge, and it killed the world in like massively short amount of days. It was great. And then
just
I
call me Kim Jong, mate. Call me Kim
and
Jong.
Then I tried to destroy myself, and I played Civilization 6 and lost 4 hours of my life, and I didn't get anywhere. So,
it's such a rough game. It's a rough game if you want to spend little amounts of time with a game because you get into Civ and you're like, I'm just going to spend half an hour, and all of a sudden it's next week, and you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. Just one more turn.
But the main one, I did the big birthday streamish thing again, which wasn't that big, but PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds for about 5 hours. I think it was 1 a.m. I got off that. We got a couple seconds. Carried the boys. They all died within 3 minutes of the start at the school. And somehow I survived, and we got second with me taking out about 4 or 5.
Are you getting better at games or something, Wilco? This is really odd.
I don't know. It's happened. It's just I'm playing a bit more, and I'm only focusing on shooters, which is good. And that's the other thing. Played Destiny 2 beta this afternoon, and apparently I'm better at that on PC than I'm on PS4 as well. So it was good. Really enjoyed it, and tempted to cancel my PS4 pre-order now.
Who would have thought that using a mouse and keyboard is better for first-person shooters? Huh?
Yeah, it's not just that, though. It's all the other. It's the keyboard is the most important part because my muscle memory can use all the other keys.
You should see me shaking my head furiously using the mouse. The keyboard, what are you talking about?
I know the mouse is important, but I can press more buttons at once on my left hand than I can. And obviously with the mouse, with the buttons on the side of the thing helps as well. But I'm lost with a PS4 controller now. I don't know what to do. So
can I offer a very likely unpopular opinion?
Yes. I know you do. You always do.
I'm totally a PC Master Race guy to the end, right? Mm-hmm. Now, having played Destiny 2 on PC, I can say that I actually prefer it on console because the recoil reduction in the game feels like I'm shooting toys. Like, I cannot believe how weird it feels to play this game. There is no recoil whatsoever with the weapons. And all of my favorite shooters... they're all about recoil, and it doesn't feel like there's any skill involved in gunplay at this point because you just point and shoot, and everything gets hit. Do you know what I mean? That really surprised me as I spent more and more time, because when I played it at first, I was like, this is amazing. Look at the field of view. Look at the graphics. Mm. And now I'm like, something feels off, and it's the recoil of the weapons. I don't like it as much without the console settings.
It was pretty much just dropping the radical over the head and holding down trigger. There was a little bit of movement. There wasn't much. I agree with you 100%. So
yeah, it just felt ridiculously easy, and I can't see how they're going to balance this in like the broader game, you know, when it comes to PvE content, because yeah, a lot of raid content is made harder by the fact that you need to land those headshots to be able to get those knights down when they spawn in time for the next wave, you know. And if you can just do that every time because it's so easy, I don't understand how that's going to work yet. So that's what I'm really interested to check out when it actually does launch.
Yeah, I'll get your opinion on that a bit more, actually, because I'm of the same opinion. I really don't know how the PC launch is going to go for Destiny 2, but look, I'm excited for the game anyway. But we'll keep moving on. Wilco, have you been up to anything else? Or are we going to move on to
Joshua? That's pretty much it for me. I'm playing Mario and Rabbids tonight, so that's the next thing I'm really looking forward to. So, but Josh, go for it.
So I've been spending a lot of time with Agents of Mayhem on PS4. I picked that up kind of just as an impulse buy.
You're an idiot, cool.
I'm halfway through a review for it, and I'm actually surprised with how much I'm enjoying it. I didn't expect to enjoy it as much as I am.
Yeah,
you like Saints Row?
I've played the Saints Row and you know, games like it, but there's just something about this. I think it's a really fun game, and like the humor's there. I'm really enjoying the time I'm spending with it.
Cool.
And want to see where it's going and unlock all the characters that you can play as and all that kind of stuff, which I've almost done now. So I'm starting to get my favourites, the ones I enjoy playing more. And that's part of the reason, I think. You've got a pretty decent roster of 13 characters with a DLC content character. And every single one of them's different, and they all play differently. So I'm having a lot of fun with that. Also picked up Mario plus Rabbids today, so I started playing that a bit, and that's looking pretty fun too. So looking forward to sinking some more time into that.
What did you think of it, Skillup, just out of interest, because I know you've been playing it pretty heavily as well.
I have. I actually finished it over the weekend, and I have a review going live in an hour and 45 minutes, and I think it's...
Can we get ours out first?
I'll hold off for you guys, no worries. In fact, I'll just not do mine and I'll just link to yours instead. Easy.
Enjoyed it overall, I was hearing.
Actually, I think it was absolutely phenomenal, in fact. Like, I was so impressed, because it was actually my game of show when I was at E3. When I first started playing it, I'm like, this is actually something quite special. And it totally delivered on every front. Like, I was really, really impressed. All the reviews are giving it, not all of them. I think most reviews are giving it sort of 90-ish, which I think is definitely the right ballpark for it. IGN gave it 7.7 in their review. They praised the game for 3 minutes straight and then slapped a 7.7 on the end. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? You consistently suck. Please. But yes, the game is very good. And if you have a Switch, I think it's the second best game on the Switch at this point.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. There's only really three games on the Switch currently at this point anyway. So
I think ARMS is on there, like up there with Splatoon, but obviously it's not as good as Splatoon. Yeah. It's just sort of a much more of a kind of, you know, have some fun with it, drop it kind of game.
I glanced an article. It was a satire. I believe it was a satire article on the internet that more or less said that ARMS is only played by perverts, and I didn't really read it.
I didn't read that. I'm gonna read that now.
I glanced at like maybe like a week ago. I'll try and track it down. It was. I just read the headline and just burst out laughing. But yeah, it's quite a funny one. Anything else?
Apart from that, we've had a lot of. I've had my in-laws here all last week, so did a lot of that. Watched the last episode of Game of Thrones last night, and now I'm sad I have to wait a year and a half at least for the next bit. I'm now poorer. We bought a new car, or we've ordered a new car for Emma, replacing hers, and we had a roomie move in. So just a mate of ours, we're trying to help out of a tough situation for a while. So that was my life over the past week. It's been fun.
That sounds like actually a pretty busy week, man.
It was, and I got a new manager at work too, because my other one resigned, quit a while ago. So that's fun as well. Some changes.
Well, look, we'll go through what I've been doing very quickly so we can jump onto Skillup. I've been playing a whole bunch of Path of Exile still. Enamored with that game. God damn it. Been spending a bit of time with Pyre, and I think I finally figured out that I just don't like Sonic at all. Yes. I don't think I ever liked Sonic. Nah. Sonic Mania, it's getting good review scores.
I understand it.
No, it is a good game. I just don't like Sonic. I don't think. It's the whole game. Like, unless you play the levels over and over, it's with Mario, with old Mario games and old Mario platformers, it was more about mastering Mario's controls and mastering the way that Mario moved through the level. With Sonic, it's more about mastering the level, not so much mastering Sonic's movements. Sonic's movements aren't incredible. His platforming isn't that great. It's very floaty. He moves very quickly. So instead of focusing on mastering his movements, you've got to master the level. You've got to know the paths to run through. You've got to understand and play that level over and over until you know the points to go. Because realistically, when you spin up and you go, a lot of the time you'll notice that you'll go a little while, then you'll hit like a reverse thing, and then you hit a bunch of spikes and you'll stop. The whole point of Sonic is to go as fast as you can all the time. I thought that's the whole point of Sonic. So there are a couple of levels where like I fluke things and I'll like run really fast and then I'll jump over something and I'll realize that I've just jumped over a set of spikes and I'll hit like a launcher and then go up into the air and hit this thing and run around it and do all cool stuff. But like it's once in a million. I think that the difference between Sonic and Mario is with Mario, you master the controls, you master Mario himself. With Sonic, you master the levels, and I'm just not about that as much, I guess. Other than that, played Absolver, and we have me and Joey got review codes for Absolver. Have you heard about Absolver, Skiller?
Yeah, I played it last week, actually.
What'd you think of it?
I thought it was awesome for the very little that I played. I actually haven't cleared the single player component yet, so I'm very, very early on into it. But yes. I loved the aesthetic. I loved the soundtrack. I loved the feel of combat. I loved the system that they devise in terms of developing your own combat combos, your own sort of, you know, I don't even know what you call them, actually. I forget now, but you can become like a master and teach other people your stances. That sort of stuff is just awesome. And I just really like the tension that exists between two characters as they face off, because I find there aren't many games that create that level of respect between opponents as they look at each other. You know, Street Fighter is so fast and furious and crazy. And then there's obviously something like Dark Souls, which is, again, even I'm talking about PvP Dark Souls, it's still very much like, it's very fast all the time, constantly. I find there's a slowness to Absolver from what I've played and what I've watched that really makes it feel like more honorable combat than most other games achieve. And I think that's just a really nice touch that they've done.
Yes, I agree with everything you said. I think the game plays very well. I will add one thing: when it works,
What is it, crashing for you or what?
Well, me and Joey picked it up and actually finished the single player content in one sitting, and it was great. It took about 3.5 hours to finish single player content. The entirety of our single player journey is up on YouTube, on our Super Mega YouTube, which is great. We got a review coming out for it very, very shortly. You more or less summed up how I feel about the game. It is so much fun to play. It's so much fun to play co-op. But I don't know if it was the build or just the way when we logged on, but it was
just networks dropping out, wasn't it?
It was network. And the graphic effects in the game were really playing up. There's a point in our playthrough where I run up a set of stairs and it's pitch black dark and you can't see anything on the screen at all. I go into the settings and I try to increase the shadows. So I go high, ultra, nothing, turn the shadows to low, and it's like someone switches on the lights and you can see everything. Yeah. And then you switch it to medium and everything's pitch black again. And you go low and you can see everything. And it is literally like night and day difference. So that was a weird thing that we sort of encountered as well. But the network, man, when that network is bad, it's next to unplayable.
Really? And disappointing. I really give those like indie developers a pass in the first like 1 to 2 weeks of their game while they're getting everything going. And so I'm willing to reserve judgment and be like, all right, let's just see how it goes. But definitely if after, you know, 2-3 weeks, it's still in that state, then I'm like, well, fuck this shouldn't have been released. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. And look, it's obvious that they were facing some issues the night that we did play it, because the servers actually went down. We weren't able to connect for a little while towards the end of the playthrough. We just couldn't see each other and we couldn't actually connect back up to online. The one thing that, and I'm not too sure if this is going to be the final build of the game or not, I didn't see an option to play offline. I couldn't see that in the single player playthrough.
I think I was playing offline in the single player playthrough because I don't think I was able to connect to the servers at all. But I think I was actually playing offline.
So I think that's the only way you can play offline is if you can't connect to the servers. If you can connect to the servers, I think you are playing online. And if your connection is bad, That game is real
no
fucking hard.
No one has
hard.
Bad connection in Australia, though.
So what? Right.
So, like, we were having, like, rubber banding issues where, like, I mean, it would be the point where, like, we were quite far in the game and dying to a single enemy because it was just, you couldn't hit them.
Yeah.
Like, and you, like, it was, yeah, it was pretty rough in some areas, but on the plus side, man, that, God, that game is fun. And I don't think I've played a game in recent memory where the combat has that much weight. Like when you punch someone in that game, when you kick someone in that game, it feels fucking good. It feels really good to punch someone in the head in that game. But yeah, it's just, so yeah, we got a whole review up. But enough about us. Skill up, man. You've been up to a lot.
It's been a, I don't even remember the last time when we chatted. When was it?
Months ago.
I think it was before E3. So, because I remember it was after my Nier Automata review.
Yeah, it was. It was just after Nier Automata.
It was E3 after that. And so it's been a crazy period. Obviously, sort of doing less Division coverage at the start of the year and started doing some reviews of games, which is cool. Went to E3, which was fantastic. I actually went with my brother this year. His name is Sam, and brought him along because he's a pretty funny guy. And I was like, whatever, you can carry my bags and buy my coffees and shit. And
channel, excellent.
Sorry?
Now he's got his own YouTube channel with some other superstar.
Exactly right. So he started. He and I actually started our own channel called Layman Gaming, which we do about 2 or 3 videos a week, and we're loving that. It's super fun. Like, it's literally just dirty clickbait sort of stuff. None of it is meant to be. It's Skill Up, because Skill Up is a very serious channel, but that's sort of not the only side of me. So it's kind of like, let's just have a joke around. Let's, like, enjoy video games as opposed to, like, critically analyzing them all the time. So we have that channel up. We have he's streaming on Twitch, which is cool. I've started streaming on Twitch since YouTube ad revenue has completely died in the ass for anything involving weapons.
Yeah, we'll speak about that briefly, shortly, actually, because I'm keen to...
You are proud of it too, aren't you, YouTube? On Twitch, aren't you?
I got partnered on Twitch, yeah. I got partnered on Twitch, actually, before I even put up my first stream.
Congratulations, you bastard.
Well, that's, like, obviously having a YouTube audience means you can just sort of, like, walk in, you know, like you own the joint. So there was nothing to do with my skill or ability. It was literally just a numbers game. But no, I've been streaming regularly because I started playing Warframe as well, which is a free-to-play game that's been out for about 4 years now, but they keep updating it, and so I decided I would review the game in its updated form, and I think I was the first one to give it a proper review in the last little while, and it really struck a chord, and that video had like 600,000 views, and the developers contacted me about that, and they're... Yeah, the whole thing went nuts, basically. The whole thing really was just quite insane. So now I'm a Warframe YouTuber.
The audience, the Warframe audience loves you, from what I understand. They send you gifts all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were sending me so much free stuff that it was out of control, and I had to ask them to stop because it was obscene how much stuff I was getting, and it was breaking the game because, you know, the whole point of Warframe is to collect gear, and I was being given all the gear, so there was nothing to play for. So I was like, this has to stop, you know? So... you know, but it's been really great. The Warframe community is really, really amazing, super welcoming, great people. The developers have also been super welcoming of me, and given me a lot of opportunity in terms of, like, interacting with the community and playing with them and sort of talking with them directly about the game and other stuff in the future that I can't talk about yet. So that's been awesome.
So from someone who played Warframe probably, it was years ago, I would say. Probably 2 years, 3 years. God, I don't know. A while ago.
Totally.
Is it worth jumping? Is it the same game, or is it worth jumping back in?
It's a fundamentally different game. I mean, I hated the original game when I played it. I played it for about, you know, an hour or so, and I was like, this is trash tier garbage. And now I played it a month ago now, and I was immediately blown away. It is a absolutely phenomenal game at this point. And I would absolutely recommend that anyone who likes looters play it. I mean, you're playing Path of Exile right now, which means you obviously have an interest in the looter genre. It is just spectacular. Like, there's no doubt about it. And check out my review. If you sit through that review 30 minutes, if by the end of that review, that's going to tell you everything you need to know. You know, you'll be able to make an informed decision by the end of that whether or not it's for you. But I really suggest everyone just check it out because it's like nothing else on the market today.
I'm very keen. I might have to check that out, man. Now, explain a little bit to us about this YouTube monetization, because you know, I don't think I personally, I haven't read too much up on it. I know a little bit about it. I know that there's sort of, you know, anything with guns in it, and they're sort of not paying out realistically.
Yeah. So, okay, well, look, the long story short is this. YouTube has a system that looks at your videos and it can spot certain things. So YouTube can spot a gun in the video itself, right? Not just the thumbnail, not just the title, but the actual video. It can spot it and it can say that that thing is shooting at another human or alien or whatever, right? Now, there are a lot of other factors that go into it, but at some point, the YouTube algorithm will say that video crosses a threshold when it comes to violence. And it will then demonetize that video partially. Not fully, but partially, which means that less ads will run on that video. And that's because advertisers can tick a box when they list their ads to say, I don't want my ad appearing in front of depictions of violence. Tick. So if the algorithm says that Destiny is a depiction of violence because you're shooting aliens, which it's currently doing, then people who make Destiny videos are going to make significantly less money because less ads are being served on their videos. It's essentially how it breaks down. So it's not like you can just, hey, change your titles, because titles do matter, by the way. I had a chat with my partner manager who's like, if you have the word killstreak, for example, in your title, it's almost certainly going to be demonetized, because the word kill is one of those words where, you know, it's going to trigger the filter, so to speak. So even avoiding that stuff doesn't help you, because the search tool now looks at your videos themselves.
Well, are they trying to become irrelevant? Like there's been so much that they've done in the past probably 18 months. Like, in all, you know, there's been they've made a lot of wrong turns. Are they doing everything they can to become irrelevant?
But I think you have to recognize where the views are on YouTube. If you go to the top 100 channels, they're certainly not video game channels. I mean, they're your Vivos, they're your toy unboxings, they're your kissing pranks, they're your Jake Pauls, they're your stupid, annoying vloggers, whatever, you know? Like, there's very little quality content that actually, you know, makes up the broad viewer base of YouTube. Most of it is just really sort of populist garbage, you know? So they've got to focus on that, because that's what drives views, and they also need to focus on keeping advertisers happy. And there's logically no argument against giving advertisers the option to self-select out of violent depictions. But the problem is you create a false economy of choice, because an advertising manager doesn't know what that means. And so they tick that box because they think it's safest to do so, and they don't really understand what goes into that ticking of the box. So they think, I should always tick the violence box just to keep my job. It's fine. Which means that all the ads are going to Jake Paul rather than coming to myself, if that makes sense. I don't know if you know who Jake Paul is, but he's a real scumbag.
Oh, good. So we're talking about digital violence here as well. I can almost guarantee you that maybe a sports highlights of, let's say, the weekend fight of Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather, two people who are actually being violent, and one probably outside the sport as well, probably still monetized realistically.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the really easy, obvious sort of, you know, haha, YouTube, got you there, buddy. And they're like, YouTube just don't care. They're like, look, man, we're going to do what advertisers want us to do. We're going to focus our efforts on where we get the views. Gaming is, you know, not a priority for them. So yeah, it's disappointing, but that is how it is.
Out of interest, and this is a conversation that I think I've started in our Discord channel a couple of times. How long do you think we sort of saw it with Persona 5, right? We saw this happen with Persona 5 when Persona 5 said, hey, you can't stream our game past a certain point. And everyone went, oh, how fucking dare you?
Yeah.
You don't see people streaming your release movies. You don't see it, right?
No.
So when do you think the first publisher's going to, or the first devs are going to pipe up and say, you can't stream our game, because if you want to play our games from that we've spent time on, you have to buy it. When do you think that's going to happen? And do you think if it does happen, do you think we're facing a golden age of streaming now where everything is open because there's no law surrounding this? Because, you know, you don't see movies being streamed on the internet because there are laws protecting that IP. Do you think that in the future, potentially, developers might say, look, man, if you really want to, maybe not for multiplayer games, maybe more for single player story content games, saying, look, it's not right that you're experiencing these games for free.
I mean, I think that there's a sort of prerogative of the interactive medium to entice the player toward playing, you know? Yeah. I think even stuff like The Last of Us, which is ultimately just a glorified movie, please don't get triggered, comments slash I love that game, but as a game, it's, you know, it's weak compared to many other games. But the fact
if
is,
if you compare it to like Metal Gear Solid 5, Uncharted is a weak game, but I would probably prefer to, for a story driven game, Uncharted blows Metal Gear Solid 5 out of the water.
Exactly right. I think that's totally correct. Yeah. So I think that, though, even then, the prerogative of the medium is to invite the player to play. And I think that the medium does that, you know? So it looks... When we're watching someone play Uncharted, we think, okay, cool, this is fine, but I'd still prefer to be playing it, you know? So I don't think there's ever going to be a point where publishers are like, nope, we need to shut it down, because I do think that this is free advertising for them. They're seeing people play other games is... not quite the same, is not the same as buying them and experience it for yourself. Surely there are some people that are going to think, yes, I've watched it, I don't need to purchase it. But I think that the people that will still want to purchase and play will always far outnumber those that look at it and they say, well, I watched the stream, so there's no point in purchasing. You know what I mean?
Interesting. It's an interesting point.
Even something like Journey, which is a 3-hour game and it's really just a glorified tech demo, right? Even that, I still want to look at that and experience that for myself, because, you know, so much of that is the beauty of the soundtrack and the visuals and the like, but the ability just to be able to go left when the streamer goes right, I think is worth spending money on. And I think most people would sort of tend towards that opinion as well.
Yeah, I actually tend to... Well, I've heard it a few times, even from our own Discord. I've heard people say, nah, look, I'm not going to buy that. I'm just going to watch someone stream it. I've actually heard that in our own Discord. And these are, you know, people that... like to play a lot of games. So I don't know.
I think there'll always be those people. There'll always be those people. But I do think that they will always be outnumbered by people who want to play it for themselves. Whereas with movies, it's kind of like movies can only be watched. That's the only way you can consume them.
Right? You would argue that some story-driven games can really only be watched as well. Like something like Ashura's Wrath. Remember that game on PS3 where realistically it was more like a quick time event game. Like it was just like playing out a movie. Or something like Heavy Rain. Fair enough, that has a few choices and stuff like that, but a lot of them, they kind of lead you down some smoke and mirrors there, and a lot of the choices sort of lead to the same sort of stuff. Those sort of experiences, even something like Persona 5, where realistically it is a very heavily story-driven game, and it's got some Pokemon elements, but it's a very linear storyline. You're going to be getting the same thing each and every time. I wonder if we're going to see a point where, you know, some public, I don't think it's going to be all, and I don't think that realistically it might become mandated, but I'm wondering when the first one's going to say, you can't stream this at all. Because if you want to experience it, you've got to pay for it.
I think the people in our Discord in particular are saying that I'm going to watch it rather than buy it. I don't think they're going to buy it anyway, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah,
watching it still.
So why is that out of interest? Why is that right? Why is it right that they are able to watch the entire thing when they're not going to buy it? And honestly, feel free to disagree with me. I personally don't think that's necessarily right.
Brand recognition, so they are still getting value out of it. Because then when they bring out a sequel, they can go, "Well, I didn't mind that," or maybe down the track when it's on sale, "Oh, I might actually give that a go," where they weren't going to buy it beforehand. So
you could argue the same for movies. You could argue exactly the same for movies.
I don't mind that with movies. Like, I'll buy a movie if I like it, even if I've torrented it. I mean, what? I didn't say that. Shit.
Take it all down. You know, I'm just, yeah, it's an interesting topic, because I think that this what we're seeing now with YouTube and the death of YouTube in the gaming community, and it is sort of slowly, it's a slow thing, it's a gradual thing, but it is sort of occurring, and it has been occurring for a little while, maybe 18 months, 24 months, and the uptake of something like Twitch. I think we are in a golden age of streaming where there's it's sort of like the Wild West, and I'm wondering when that's going to stop, and I'm wondering how it's going to stop.
But it's such a cultural phenomenon, Twitch, as well, and we're only at the start of it. Like, I don't really think the tendency of the publishers would be, like, if you just put yourself in the shoes of a business person and they think, well, how am I going to sell as many copies of my game as possible? The more people that are talking about it, it's an amplification factor. Because even if that one person... Sorry?
Word of mouth carries it a fair distance, you know?
Even if that one person... Even if that one person doesn't buy the game because they decided, oh, I'm just going to watch the stream, if they like what they see, they will tell someone else, I saw that on stream, it looked awesome. They'll tell that person, they'll go buy it. Then they'll tell people, you know? The more people that are talking about your product, the better. And I just feel like cutting off that avenue of free advertising, literally having thousands of people constantly playing your game for an audience and promoting it as a product, it doesn't make sense.
This might be a perfect segue. The more people talking about your game, the better. What about Shadow of War?
Oh, fuck off.
No, I'm really, because I have some very strong opinions on this, and we've discussed it a lot on this podcast, and I have made my decision, and my decision is that I will not be supporting that game. I'm not buying it, even though I want to play it. Even though I want to, I really want to play it. It's the fucking Nemesis system. I want to play it. This is a scenario where more people are talking about this game.
Yeah, but it's
I didn't say that all press is good press. Sorry, I cut you off, Wilco.
It's a different thing. I mean, more people are talking about that in a negative light, whereas the people that are going to talk about a game that they've watched on a stream are going to be less likely to be saying, I watched this and it was shit, because they won't talk about it. It'll be, I watched this and it looked amazing.
It's not that negative, man. A lot of people are excusing it. A lot of people are excusing this. And there's a few very vocal people, myself, Skill Up, that are saying, no, this is not fucking okay. This is not okay. And we're being very vocal about it. The large majority, if you go in their Discord channel, which I'm a member of, a large majority are going, it's not that bad. Who cares? It's not that bad.
And you know what they're waiting for? They're waiting for people to start playing it on Twitch and people seeing that it is, like, actually the gameplay, and hoping that that sways people. And they'll support Twitch, I can guarantee you, the publishers, for that reason alone.
So here's the other one. When do we get to the point where... Because it's obviously happening right now. People are given incentives to say good things about video games, especially Twitch people. Like, it's happening now, like, you know. Yeah. So where do we get to a point where that shit has to be disclosed? Like, okay, this is...
It's already a requirement.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a requirement on the part of the companies. It's an F. It is a legal requirement on the
year, I think, didn't it?
I mean, that's been around for a long time now. But certainly, if you're asking about, you know, when the individuals have to disclose it, they don't, in the sense that, you know, they're not companies, they're individuals, and so they are under no legal obligation to disclose that. If they're a listed company, just any kind of company, then they would have an obligation to do that. But if a company is making a payment like that, then it's incumbent upon them to disclose it. You know, I feel like that ground is pretty well covered. And I also feel like, look, if you're dumb enough to trust someone that's going to be bought, then it's your own fault. You know, and if you've got your head about you and you're able to make good decisions, you're probably not going to trust someone or listen to someone that's just going to sell out. You know what I mean? I really feel like that whole thing is quite overblown, because if you really trusted T. Martin as a good guy that was a stand-up member of the community, then you were already a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, but it's true. Like,
yeah, it's can true. Can I steer the ship somewhere else at the moment, Skill Up? How's the process of getting into Patreon gone for you so far?
Yeah,
it's been good. I always viewed the Patreon as a slow burn thing for me, because I don't exist to serve a specific community. You know, I sort of just operate across different communities and dip in and out of them as I please. And I'm still sort of figuring out exactly how I want to do YouTube, and I'm not full-time on YouTube. There's lots of reasons why I sort of viewed Patreon as more of a long-term play than like a, hey, I'm going to make billions of dollars from Patreon right away. So it's really wonderful. So far, people have been super generous. It's definitely a help towards that goal of being able to make me more financially sustainable in the future. But it's not like I can quit my job tomorrow on Patreon. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're still a long, long ways from that. So, but as I said, people have been really great, and it's really nice just to have a direct line of communication with those people more than anything else. Yeah. And what I didn't really anticipate was that I'd have this group of people who really back me, and I know that those people back me in that way, and I feel like I can talk to them more freely than I talk to my regular subscribers, because I know they're on board for me rather than being on board for, I don't know, the latest think piece I've done, or, you know, a guide on a weapon or whatever. You know, like, that interaction with audience has been really great.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
it's something that I've looked at a lot in Patreon and for our website and stuff. It doesn't make sense for us now because we're quite small, but it's something that I have looked at and considered in the past. We're doing some shirt stuff, but realistically, it's a very interesting platform.
It is. I think that you really have to have something to offer to your audience.
Yeah. And let's be honest, we don't.
Well, I feel like, you know, neither do I at this point, or at least I have a lot less than I feel like I should right now. And I'm sort of building up to the point where I really am a consistent sort of offering, because, you know, I think on the journey on YouTube, for anyone that's self-aware, is one that is changing. You know, there's certain people that just always do the same thing from start to finish and that's it. But I feel like a lot of those people are at risk of becoming irrelevant. But I've always been very concerned about how do I evolve and make sure that I adapt to what's you know, what I need to be talking about in the way that I need to be talking about it. And that iterative process means that I've been figuring stuff out. And, you know, I feel like that there's still a ways to go, you know, in that process. And so, yeah, Patreon's part of that journey. Patreon, when I get to that point where I'm really there and I'm like, this is absolutely who I am and this is what I do. And, you know, I'm in more known quantity. I feel like more people would sort of get behind me because, as I said, you have to have something really clear to offer to your audience.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of something clear to offer the audience, Destiny 2. We spoke briefly before the podcast started about the PC release and how it's in a bit of an odd place at this point in time with Recoil. I mean, we're talking about a game that was a first-person shooter that was designed and built for consoles is now coming to the PC market. And I always thought this was going to be a bit of a struggle for Bungie and a developer that realistically has been born and bred on consoles. What do you think of Destiny 2 on PC at this current point?
I had a really interesting conversation with a streamer who predicted that Destiny 2 would be DOA on PC. And I really didn't believe that person at the time. I was like, no way, man, it's going to be huge. And I think now my thinking in that has definitely evolved a lot. I think that I really expected Destiny 2 on PC to be this gigantic behemoth that sort of thunders in and takes over the world. But I suspect it will be a more niche title that will find a niche community. The game being released 6 weeks earlier on consoles really takes a lot of the wind out of the sails of the Destiny experience, because so much of it is about exploring the world at the same time as everybody else. When the new weapon or exotic quest is discovered, everyone frantically getting home to do it ASAP, figuring out the raid, you know, like all that stuff is just so... It's just, that's Destiny, like so much of it. And so to have all that sport for you 6 weeks earlier, it's a fundamentally different experience then. And, you know, we've already talked about weapon recoil, which I think is just straight up problematic at this point. I don't know how PvE balancing around weapons is going to go. Anti-cheat, hey, they're being really vigilant on that front, but who knows? It eventually will rear its ugly head. Cheaters will find some way to make it happen and how that's going to go. So... Look, it plays beautifully in terms of how it looks and field of view, and it's still the Destiny we know and love, but yeah, I don't know if the PC community are really going to rally to it when that time comes, because it's certainly not a PC game.
No, it's going to be very, very interesting to see. I'm personally getting on PS4, and I think a lot of the experience for Destiny for me is that social one. You're right in saying it's about that discovery and it's about that learning it all at the same time and stuff like that, but like, I was a big WoW player back in the day, and for God, probably 3/4 of the end game content was me standing around in Dalaran just yelling at people and jumping around and being an idiot, not actually doing anything. And probably some of the funnest times I've had in Destiny have been when I've been fucking around with my cousin Ryan and Josh, and we're not actually really doing anything. Like, we're just sort of running around, and it's like we're playing a game and going through the motions while talking about other shit.
Yeah.
It's like an excuse to get together and just shoot the shit and like chat, you know what I mean? So I think that wherever your friends are playing is probably going to be where maybe you will end up going. And it's just interesting to see, because I know, like Wilco was saying before, that a lot of the Discord guys are getting on PC, so he's considering PC. I'm definitely getting on PS4 because it's where everyone that I knew Destiny 1 was playing. So I'll be getting it on PS4. It's going to be, yeah, I think I can see where you're coming from. I think it's going to go one of two ways. It either will light the world on fire, or it's going to flop and it'll be like, you know, Brink or something like that and go free to play in like, you know, 4 years.
I don't think it'll flop. I just think that it'll find its place, you know, like I think something like Heroes of the Storm is a really good model for that, where Heroes of the Storm is not a like gigantically successful MOBA, but it has its community, it has its people, you know, it still makes some headlines every now and then, Blizzard still back it, you know, I think that's where we'll see it. It's not going to become Dota or League. It's just going to exist, and I feel that's where I think that Destiny 2 on PC will land as well.
Speaking of not becoming Dota or League, you know what has become Dota or League?
PUBG.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. Look at me. What a guess.
God. Yeah. As if you couldn't tell, hey.
I saw a video of him shooting a car and your brother's head popped up. Was it Sam's head popped up in front of
him? Yeah. God, that was good, eh? Oh, the thing. I was really worried I was going to get banned by Player Unknown at that point. Luckily, I didn't, guys. don't tell on me, please. Please.
You kill in that video 3 times, I reckon, at least.
Yeah, I know. That was pretty funny. That we had a good time.
We'll have you know that Player Unknowns is actually an avid listener of this podcast.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Yeah. The whole group is, mate.
Right.
So, it's the greatest podcast in Australia.
Don't you guys reckon that PUBG is the biggest fad out and it's going to die out in like 6 months' time?
Yeah.
It's not going to die out, but yes, it's the biggest fad out. I don't think it's going to die out. I think it will. You reckon?
I reckon it's a... I reckon... Here's my view on this, right? And this is going to piss off everyone, okay?
Yes!
Woo-hoo. I reckon that PUBG is a shitty game that just happened to get the bare minimum right at the right time, right? And it just happened...
I fucking love you.
And it happened to blow up at the moment when Twitch is this cultural phenomenon.
I have been saying this for so long.
Yeah.
I've been in the Discord saying, why is everyone playing this? It's fucking shit.
Like, it's not a good video game, okay?
No, it's not.
And don't get me wrong, it's fun. Like, I've played lots of shitty, fun video games, but do I think that this game will last? Like, games that last the test of time are good video games. Like, Dota and League are what they are today because they are fundamentally, like, genius video games. Beautifully constructed, balanced, just great games. This is not that, you know?
No, I agree. The fact that it's fun, but it is fundamentally broken in so many sense. The fact that there is now an e-sport around what is arguably a lucky draw, like where you drop and like random spawns and all sorts, it's kind of mind-blowing to me. I don't know how they're doing that.
There's definitely a skill factor. I'm not saying there's no skill. There's lots of things that redeem it as a game, but I just don't think it is the quality of product that will last the test of time. I think right now it's being played because it's super fun and because the zeitgeist has seized upon it, but I don't think it is a forever kind of game, you know?
Again, this is a perfect segue because I know you got to go soon, but I just want to bring up this one topic and discuss it with you. I think it's going to last the test of time for one reason and one reason only. We've been talking about it a lot internally lately. Nostalgia. This game is now laying its own nostalgia bricks in a lot of people. This is the first game a lot of people are getting into. It's the first game a lot of people are streaming and all that sort of stuff. These days, and it's becoming more and more common, nostalgia is an excuse to forgive companies for fucking anything. And I think that PUBG is going to fall into this, like a Diablo 2-esque sort of nostalgia. You know, oh man, I remember playing this game with my friends. It's fucking fantastic. And then when you go back to it 5 years later, you're like, this was shit. What were we ever doing? Diablo 2 wasn't shit, but there's still a level of nostalgia about it. And this leads me into... when do you think people are going to finally wake up and stop forgiving companies or stop forgiving companies just because they've got a lot of nostalgia wrapped around something? I'm not talking about anything in particular here, but it is happening.
Are you talking about Nintendo?
Nintendo is one of them. It is one of them. Yes, it is one of them. But there are a few others as well, like, for instance, Shadow of War. Just because they made Shadow of Mordor, people all of a sudden are like, oh, you know, microtransactions, nah, they'll do, right? But no, it's the Warner Brothers have been pretty fucking rampant with their microtransactions, man. It's... you know, so a lot of people are forgiving companies because they hold some sort of nostalgia to something that maybe the company released a long time ago. I personally don't understand it. And do you think that people will eventually open their eyes, or do you think nostalgia is here to stay and it is the be all end all to forgive anything?
What do you guys think? I've been doing all the talking. I feel like, look, I'm just holding the microphone ruthlessly.
You got the best voice in the business.
Me and Matt, we were discussing this earlier, and thinking about it now and thinking back, you know, I work for a fairly large national, international company, and we, you know, we've gone through some training lately, and talking about, you know, brands, just talking about brands, different brands out there and what those brands mean and where those meanings come from. And just thinking about what Matt was saying then, even, you know, nostalgia is a pretty massive marketing tool that almost every single successful brand and the most successful brands out there use on a daily basis and use it well. I don't think, and everybody just accepts it. I don't think it's ever going to change. I really don't. Mm-hmm. Rightly or wrongly, you know, I really don't think it's something that's ever going to change, because every single business uses it in some way, shape, or form.
Using it, I'm cool with using it. So I'm cool with a business going, hey, remember this? This was awesome. And then using that to market something new. What I'm not cool for is that new thing coming out being shit, everyone knowing that it's shit and going, oh, yeah, but, you know, it's not that bad.
Like, what's an example of that, though? I'm a bit confused.
Okay, I'm going to pick on the Switch here. I've done a million times before.
Go on.
If Sony or Microsoft released a console in 2017 with broken online, completely broken online, next to non-workable and friend codes and weird shit like that.
Yeah.
One, fair enough, it was a very, very good game, but one good game on release and then an incredibly patchy release cycle for the next 6 months, people would be fucking livid on the internet. But because it's Nintendo, and one of the big things is the online, that is inexcusable in 2017 to have that shitty phone app that barely even functions as an app anyway. The phone's going to be completely unlocked to play with your friends is inexcusable. Because it's Nintendo, they're like, oh, it's Nintendo, leave them alone.
No. Well, I fundamentally disagree with your characterization of the Switch, by the way.
Okay. That's okay.
Like, I feel like the Switch is the best console that's been released in the last, like, 6 years.
Hardware-wise, you're very well right. And vision-wise, you're not
right. Like, I really don't care about hardware at all. Like, and I think that's the beauty of it because, you know, like, look at the Xbox One. The Xbox One, you know, machine that was basically on par with the PS4 in terms of power, a little bit less powerful, but absolutely terrible dashboard, atrocious launch, exclusives to speak of over the entire life of the console. Like, there's not one game on Xbox that I would want to buy that machine for. Like, not one. You know what I mean?
Sunset Overdrive for me, maybe.
I'm sure there's going to be some niche examples, but there's no game like Bloodborne. There's no game like Breath of the Wild, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Nintendo looked at the market and says, can we do another machine in someone's lounge room? Sure. But how about we have something portable that goes toe-to-toe with the mobile market, which is just exploding at the moment, that like has some weird interesting shit going on in terms of the controllers and how it's used, and it's just there just to play video games. And yes, I agree that the online sucks, but you don't buy a Nintendo product for like cutting edge online connectivity. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what it is. I just think that Nintendo said, this is what we're going to produce, and that's it. And that's why I think the machine is so fantastic. That's why I love my Switch. Do you know what I mean? I just think it's wonderful because it's this, just harkens back to, hey, by the way, we're just making a video game machine here. That's all, guys. And you can take it with you in your pocket if you like. And it works perfectly. And I just, for that reason, it's just, for me, I absolutely adore it.
For a video game machine, they haven't made many video games.
Oh, it's got a few. Well, yeah, but I mean, they'll get going. And let's not also discount the fact that Breath of the Wild was one of the greatest video games ever made. Like, that's, you know, I'd absolutely take one Breath of the Wild over 60 shitty, you know, mid-tier launch titles.
I understand what you're saying, Matt. Like, I do agree with you that the launch cycle on the Nintendo has been horrendous, you know, for new titles coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when you do compare it to your Sony's and your Microsoft's, but I think we need to look at it objectively as well, and understand that Nintendo's whole life of all of their consoles has kind of been like that, and they haven't really had the developer support the third party developer support that your Sony's and your Microsoft has had.
So Nintendo's been like that since the 64.
That support in 64.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's been like that for quite some time. So the new console coming out and expecting it to change overnight.
Yeah. I can click, by the way, then. That was nice. That's a little
I've actually got a little switch. Expecting it to change overnight when the market and the developers are probably sitting back and going, hey, here's a new console. Is it worth our time to invest into this? You know, in my eyes, it had to be launched first and had to have the success that it's had, or the limited success that it's had, to get the support behind. So the second year, the third year, and the fourth year are sensational.
And it's not limited success, by the way.
No, it's been massively successful.
Nintendo is now more valuable as a company than Sony is in terms of stock market value. And also, there are still lines around the corner in Japan to get hold of a Switch because stock is that rare. And they haven't even released a Monster Hunter yet. And they haven't released, you know, the Mario yet. And they haven't released Smash Brothers yet. And they haven't released the Metroid yet. Like, it just goes on and on. This system is just getting warmed up. And already, the demand for it is massive and the success has been, like, stratospheric. So, it's just and that's a home run.
That's my question. I personally... I don't understand why people, and I get bashed all the time. Like, you just hate Nintendo. I don't. I fucking love Nintendo, man. I got consoles, like old Nintendo consoles, sitting behind me. I fucking love Nintendo. I'm a Nintendo kid. Like, that's what I grew up with. I personally can't justify a $600 purchase for one game right now that I want to play. And like, that's where 8 months. Well, not 8 months, but 6 months after launch, and there's still only one game I really want to play. All the other good games are available on other platforms.
No,
and
you will play Rabbids.
In some of them. No, I don't want to play. I don't really want to play rabbits. That's my personal choice, just because I cannot fucking stand the rabbits.
So many people say that as well. As I've read through comments, so many people are like, "I would actually really like to play this game, but I hate the rabbits."
Oh man, second-rate minions. I can't deal with them.
They're funny. Like, they're funny in this game. I'm telling you, you will laugh.
Because
they make fun of the Mario characters, and who does that? No one makes fun of Mario. But it's just funny seeing that play out.
I think, watch me stream it after the podcast, Berko, and make your decision up then.
Yeah, I might check it out.
We've got some questions in Discord too for Skillup before he has to run away, so don't push him too far.
I'm not going to push him too far. But I just want to say, I really want to get a Switch. I do. I want to get a Switch. I think it is a good console, but I think the launch was terrible. And when I went back to the nostalgia. And in terrible, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, there wasn't much to play on it. There's still not too much to play on it. It's not a cheap console. There is the online, like, realistically, I feel personally as if another company did that, they would be dragged over the coals for it. But because it's Nintendo, it's everything's excused. And yes, it might be a good piece of hardware, but there were still issues that people were like, oh yeah, but Zelda.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but you know, sorry. but whatever. And like, It kind of, as a Nintendo fan, I want more from this company. I actually want them to be the company that I know they can be. Instead of like fucking hold the Switch back for 1 year and then release it with Zelda, Odyssey, Mario Rabbids, and all of a sudden you've got a very compelling reason to purchase this console, and it hasn't left this weird taste in my mouth. We're like, fuck, man, Nintendo's, the Wii U died because there was no support for it, and the Wii U was a good console. It had some fantastic games in its lifespan on it, but it just never picked up. And half that was marketing, but half that was there was no support behind it as well. The Wii had one of the worst software attach rates of any console in history, and yet it was almost impossible to find in stores for the first year that it was out. You know, I worry for Nintendo. I want them to be better because I know they can be better, but everyone seems to forgive them for everything. And I feel as if because people aren't being more critical of them, because people aren't saying, come on, guys, pick your shit up. This online is not okay. They've got no reason to want to get better.
Yeah. I really feel that expecting contemporary technology, including the internet from Nintendo, is the wrong thing to be measuring them on.
Yeah. I think it's just a real fool.
Then don't release it. Then don't do it. Then market that and say, you know what, guys? We're not going to do this because... that's not us.
Yeah,
and I would be so much better with that message. I'd be like, okay, fuck yeah, Nintendo are embracing what they're good at instead of releasing these half-assed things and having a bad experience. Have none.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, like, embrace what you are, Nintendo. If you don't want to do online, don't fucking do online. I don't care. I'm still going to buy your games. Like, eventually, when there's enough of them on the console, I will. 100%. I want to. I really want to. But, you know, I don't know. Anyway, moving on to the questions. Sorry, okay. Skillup. I wanted to pick your mind on that one because I talk about it a lot.
Just quickly on Battlegrounds before we get into this, my personal opinion is the fact that it is a social game, like you were talking about Destiny before, and that's why I like it so much, because I'll shoot the shit with my mates for 30 minutes and then die and then load in and do it again. So that's why I'm liking it. So it's more of a social game for me. But we've got a question here from McDaddy Dad in our Discord. He's a very big fan of The Division and wants to know, Skillup, what do you make of the Twitter posts from The Division lately with all these cryptic messages they're sending out?
I'm pretty sure that's patch 1.8 hype. So for those that don't play The Division, by the way, the background is that they just released a patch 1.7 update, which is very, very minor content. And then patch 1.8 has been teased as having lots of new content, lots of new real estate, so to speak, like new mission areas and perhaps even new missions and maybe even new story. And that's all the leaks from players who have seen it have sort of indicated that might be the case. So I believe, given my conversations with the players that are closer to the action than myself, that it is teasing the patch 1.8. I don't think they're teasing The Division 2. I don't think this is how you would tease a sequel. It's not like that. There's the same character models, you know, some of the same settings. It doesn't look like a sequel to me. It really looks like the next patch.
Yeah, because that was the exact criticism I had of it when I talked about 1.7 last weekend and Locked On, was the fact that I was just screaming for more new content rather than the same missions over.
Yeah. I mean, I think we'll get 1.8, and I think that'll be it at that point. That'll be the last update, and then I think we'll start hearing news about the sequel. Number two. You know,
How is it going? Is this player base doing okay, or is it? I haven't really caught up on it in a long time. I think we gave their developers developers of the year last year for the updates they were doing, Wilco.
Yep.
And how's it been? How's it been for 2017? Is it a loved game, or is
what do you reckon, Wilco? What's your stream on it?
I really love how they're still doing weekly updates pretty much, and the fact that the game I jumped in, I burn out about 1.3. And I still had the same problems at 1.7, but there's still enough of a conversation around the game. I think the base is still there, like the actual player base is still there and still loving it, the ones that didn't drop off, and there are people coming back into it. And when I streamed it with the boys in Discord, they were enjoying watching it, and a lot of them, if there was a free weekend, they were jumping in with me at that stage as well. So to Perko's question, I think the player base, there's still a significant player base there. I just it's not growing, but it's not dropping.
You got like your hardcore fans, and they're sort of sticking around.
Which is what we're talking about with Destiny 2 on PC. You'll get that niche group that will just hang around, create content about it, and talk about it, and help improve it for a long time.
I guess it's like Destiny 1 now, isn't it, guys? Like, realistically, there's a core group. I go back to Destiny when like an expansion's released or something, but I guess there's that. It's the same with Destiny 1 sort of now.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the Destiny 1 player base is just vastly, vastly bigger as well. Let's not forget. Because I've sort of seen the player counts of both of those games, you know, behind the scenes, and I can tell you that Destiny dwarfs The Division in terms of that. So it is a matter of scale. But yeah, I think you're right that The Division will always have its rusted on community, its rusted on base that won't go anywhere, but it's certainly not welcoming new players at this point. They're kind of in a holding pattern, hopefully waiting for some new content or even a sequel coming up later.
Well, awesome.
That was the other criticism, because I jumped in and my gear sets just weren't optimized, and I had no way of... The grind was too big for me, where it seemed to be right for the high-end end game players already. It was just too big a jump to make.
Wilco, I've spoken too much already, mate. So you don't ask the rest of these questions. I will unmute myself and shut up for a bit.
Okay, so Mum, I dab for money, which is AKA Benson, our moderator. Still up. Have you ever asked Danny on PC to say squirrel?
No, I haven't actually. Now I have to do this.
You better do
that. I'll definitely do this. Danny is a Battlefield YouTuber / Twitter dude. Twitter rash. He's really all over Twitter. Twitter rash. I think that's a good way to describe it. And I'll have to ask him to say squirrel. I'll get on that.
Excellent. That's good. So then I've got a two-part question from my fellow hosts on Locked On, the Tom Clancy podcast. So Josh comes up with... What's the deal with helicopters in Ubisoft games? And then we decide to actually go, why do they crash so much in Ubisoft games?
They obviously have the same people designing the game code as they do engineers on the actual helicopter motors. So the bugs that exist in the game code seem to also exist in the helicopters. I think that's the most likely explanation.
Can you imagine if like Assassin's Creed, like there's just helicopters in it now? Like this, like, in Ancient Egypt, just like, what the fuck is that? It's a fucking helicopter? And just crashes into a pyramid.
But it's all the same writers as well. The writers just go, we need to get this person on the ground. Just make the helicopter crash.
There are no other ways to get down. Like, actually, in real life, there are no ways to get on the ground once you're up in the air except for crashing a helicopter.
You can ride a missile.
Yes, Just Cause 3 style. Come on. Do that.
Don't be ridiculous. Let's think laterally here.
Apologies.
Right. And that is it from our little Discordy community for questions. I think there was one about who was the sexier brother on Layman Gaiman.
Well, that's a foregone conclusion. We don't need to answer that one, obviously.
It's Sam that replied to that, so I don't know what they're talking about.
I bet you it was Sam that asked that question and then wrote hashtag it's Sam afterwards. So, you know, let's just check who wrote that question firstly.
Now, is Sam editing the...
I think the name is definitely not Sam.
Sam is now editing, yes. I taught him how to edit. It was an arduous process.
I don't think he should have done that.
It took about 12 years, but we eventually got him there, and now he can edit, yes. No, it was. I don't think so either, but I needed to because I just didn't have any time to actually edit the videos because I was sort of killing myself between full-time work and my own channel. So he's taken those over now, and he's actually doing good work, to be honest. He's taken to it quite well. And
I like the little slow-mos of your face when he says something that you disagree with, and you're like, right. Oh my God, what the...
No. That's right. My brother is an idiot, so he will often say things I disagree with.
Yeah, brothers usually often. Are idiots. Older brothers, right, I know.
Brothers. Older brothers, well. Being the eldest of five, I have to agree. Shit.
Fair enough. Far out. Well, Skill Up, look, I mean, you're welcome to stick around if you want. I know you're sort of on a tighter schedule, and we've kept you for a full double of what you were supposed to be here for.
I will shoot because I'm about to do an upload. I need to do all sorts of prep before then. But thank you very much, though, gents. It's been a pleasure as always.
Thank you, Skill. Where can people catch you, man? If people want to find you and help you out with your Patreon and stuff like that, where can people catch you?
Look, just Google Skill Up and you'll find me everywhere. Google Skill Up YouTube and Skill Up Twitch and Skill Up Twitter and Skill Up Patreon and you'll find me. All of those platforms, I'm all over them. So yeah, just come and stop by. And we've also got a Discord that we've just set up as well, which has been really great. We've also just set up a Destiny 2 clan ahead of the Destiny 2 action. That's an open clan. Anyone can join. So stop by to that. And yes, that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Thank you, Skill Up, so much for joining us. Let's do this.
This is the fucking news.
Oh, God. It's a bit light on the news this week, but it's good because we had a big chat with Skill Up and stuff like that. So we'll jump straight into the news. I think we briefly mentioned it, but PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds has surged ahead of everything
How
else on
good
Steam.
Is Twitch marketing for that? Imagine if they said you cannot stream this game.
Yeah,
holy.
It wouldn't exist, I think.
The interesting number here, so let's go through some numbers. Joey's must be sick because he'd love to talk about these numbers because they're numbers. So Battlegrounds peak usage is 804,000 and current players at that stage was 477,000. This is compared to that Dota 2 crap that people play. 758 at peak and 464 current. So PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is now the most played game on Steam.
Yes, it is.
Do you think
you would see that, Perko?
Look, it's a big game. And whether or not I agree with how big it is and whether or not I agree with how good it is, it's a big game. Everyone is talking about that game, man. Like, everyone is talking about that game.
Let's look at the next numbers because your Counter-Strike Global Offensive is at 568 at peak and then it drops to H1Z1, number 4 at 75,000.
That is less than a tenth. Players.
That's a huge drop.
I'm just wondering.
Like, I thought they were pretty similar, but that's not. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is huge compared to H1.
Yeah, Path of Exile's in there, which is interesting. I didn't think Path of Exile was actually that big either. Like, it's in the top
57,000 at peak.
Not many compared to 804,000.
And for those, Warframe is actually up there as well, and Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege, proving that game is ever growing.
Yeah.
So,
do you think? PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, Matty, is higher than Dota 2 currently because the big Dota 2, like the internationals, just happened and people are kind of like Dota 2'd out for the time being. Do you think
there is one, be their peak time?
There is one reason why PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is higher than Dota 2. It's because it's easy to get into. Dota 2 requires a fucking PhD in masochism and insanity to even start fucking playing that game. I should know. I spent 2,000 hours in that shit fest. And I love it.
Oh, shit.
Love every second of it. However, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, pick it up, shoot some people. You don't have to know 100 different fucking heroes and all their skills and their growth rates. And you don't have to know that. It doesn't require a mathematics degree to be decent. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, you shoot motherfuckers. and that's about it.
Well, you don't even have to do that. You can just sit there in half an hour while your mates shoot
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Yeah. You can get a chicken dinner without ever having to pull the trigger.
That's like you just watch McDad. He's 17 frames per second and zero kills and gets a chicken dinner. He's a good man.
Just more approachable. It's way easier to pick up than something like Dota 2. I'm actually, to be honest, I'm kind of shocked at those Dota 2 numbers. There's a lot of people playing Dota 2, and I knew that it was growing and I knew that it was big, but that's a lot of people playing Dota 2, considering how, you know.
Can I counter Josh's point before? I think this is almost its peak time because everyone's excited about the international and going, I'm going to play this game now, and this is when more people will be playing it than ever before.
During the international, that number would have been higher. So because a lot of people watch it and stuff, I think that during the international, it was well over a million because that's the peak today, which is fine. But yeah, I think that it's a lot of people. There's a lot of people playing video games in general.
I just had the thought in my head that people might be fatigued from it because they've watched the international and they're like, okay, I've kind of just fucking spent, you know, almost a whole month playing Dota. I need to go and cleanse my palate.
Nope, because you're watching other people play. The thing that you want to do more than anything after the international is play fucking Dota because you see all of the strats. You see all of the things that the pros have used and you go, holy shit, man, I'm going to try that and I'm going to wreck someone in game. And then you get in the game and you talk to two Russians who don't understand English in the fucking match, and it's a 90-minute match that you end up losing, and then you just want to hang yourself. So,
fair enough.
You know.
Okay.
But see, the other thing with Battlegrounds as well is it's sort of self, like, it can suit your mood. Like, the other Friday night, we went in all serious. So we dropped outside near the edge of the map. We worked our way in slowly and we're very methodical and got seconds and thirds. And then we just felt like shooting people. So we just then dropped that purposely on, dropped at the really high intensity spots like the school. And all of a sudden we were getting action straight from the start. If we got through it, hey, cool. If we didn't get through it, didn't matter. We loaded a game straight away. And there's no waiting time. There's no nothing. So it really suits your mood. Where Dota 2, you've got to be focused most of the time when you're playing it as well. So
yeah, and the difference as well is where you can play with teammates in PUBG, and you can play with up to five. I think it is. Is it fives?
Four.
So fours is in it now. If you fuck up real bad on your team, chances are you're going to get shot in the head. Doesn't necessarily mean that your whole team's going to die. In Dota, if you fuck up, your whole team hates
you're
you
bad.
Because you're going to lose the match because of you. And that's rough. And it makes you feel real dumb. And I feel dumb all the time because I lose lots in that game. And I stopped playing it. Fuck that game.
Where to from here, though, for Battlegrounds?
The bin. I don't know.
It technically is supposed to release in the next couple of months.
Look, apparently it is. The Xbox,
they're adding a map soon.
Yeah, that new desert map looks weird. It's a lot smaller. It's like a quarter of the size of the current map or something.
It looks a lot more dense, though.
I actually kind of want to play a bit of PUBG with you guys. I haven't really played too much of it. I still stand by the fact that I don't think it's a very good game. I think it's very fun. I don't think it's very good.
I think you're enjoying Battle Royale more than PUBG itself, the Battle Royale style.
Yes, I think so too. I do.
Which there's no competition for it. There should be. As soon as a AAA player enters the market and says, this is Battle Royale, how it's supposed to be done, that will be the number one game on Steam.
I think they can, eh? It's interesting. I don't think they'll be able to because... Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be hard to do. It's going to be very hard to do, I think.
Well, Battlegrounds is a mass market. This is still niche, even though these BART mark numbers are huge. Like, we're not talking about the average Call of Duty player down the road who's never watched a Twitch stream in his life, isn't playing Battlegrounds.
That's because the average Call of Duty down the road is on console, a lot of them. Like, the console numbers of Call of Duty are massive.
Battlegrounds will be on console.
It'll be on Xbox, which is arguably the console that is in the least homes at this point. So,
I
don't know.
That'll add about 10.
Do you think if they went through and fixed all the issues that it had, or the majority of the core issues, that it would still get the same amount of people? Just out of curiosity, like, do you think if they
some
fixed
of those
it
add to the charm of the game?
Yeah, that's one thing. Like, if they fixed it, then it'll become a more mechanically dense game, and you know, it.
I think it'll scare people away. Yeah. I think the beauty of it is that it is shit. Luck, and anyone can do it, and. I don't know. Look, it's one of those... I said, I think if someone AAA comes in and markets the shit out of it, it could be bigger, but... Like, those numbers are stupid. That's 10 times more than H1Z1, which was the big story when it was starting to do it, and it was the one that sort of paved the way.
Do you think that the Battlegrounds... I mean... do you think that the battle, like when you look at something like Deathmatch, right? On console, it was born from things. On PC, it was born from things like Doom, right? And that was sort of like a deathmatch was a mode in a game that got really big. On console, it was probably GoldenEye that sort of made it really big in Halo. Do you think that Battlegrounds is just going to become a mode that is available in a bunch of games that are coming out? Like, do we see? Let's say the Uncharted 5 comes out. It's a third-person shooter. Do we see a Battlegrounds mode in Uncharted for multiplayer? Do we see a Battlegrounds mode in a bunch of games?
I think already Ubisoft has sort of said that we are looking at ways of putting Battle Royale into our games as DLC. So I think you'll see Wildlands with a Battle Royale style mode eventually. I don't think it's any time in the next 12 months, but eventually I think Battle Royale will be the more common thing we see in multiplayer games as a mode, because it's just fun. You're talking about 100 other people, and it's like you in this, like back in the school days where you were playing like brandies or something with your bike. let's go hunt these things, or it's just mucking around. And just like I said before, it's a social thing where you're chatting while you're doing it, because it's not action packed all the time. I think it'll be a mode in a lot of multiplayer games from now on. But I did say that the Nemesis system would be a vital part of a lot of games going forward, and here we are talking about no one else has done it until the sequels. So I'm off and wrong.
We'll see. Let's jump ahead. South Park has been confirmed that it is being released in Australia completely uncensored, which is awesome news. It really is. It's awesome news. I still think it's kind of surprising. Sad. I still think it's kind of sad that we're not going to get those tongue-in-cheek, fuck you Australian government crying koala screens, which I actually might think they might actually be funnier than the deleted scenes themselves. But
yes, I agree with you. But look, we talked about it in Super Hype Train when we did it about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, and we were all in pretty much agreement that there wouldn't be the full version coming out. So to actually hear, what are we, a month and a half from launch, that it will be officially uncensored. It shocks me, man. It really does. Like, I don't know how
they've done that.
I think, as we said at the time, I think Ubisoft picked the most grotesque scene that they could possibly find in the game, and they put it on stage at E3 and said, have a look at it now.
You play as a kid giving lap dances to pedophiles.
Yep. And that they put that out straight out the front, and you actually play it though. That's the thing.
You have to play it. It's a mini game where you have to fucking lap dance on these fucking crusty old men, and you're a young.
This is marketing at its best. I think they've put it out front, and they've got on top of it early, and somehow they've got it past the censorship board. I don't know how, and we will get to play it. And like I said, it probably would have been funnier.
Yeah.
The scene that they would have put in over the top of it if we had have got it canned, but. I think we haven't heard the last of this yet. I think it'll get released and there'll be some backlash from the...
someone. From fucking someone.
Australia.
Do you think... and I understand the whole concept of why, and kind of agree that whole scene in the game is shit. You know, and probably shouldn't be in a game, but...
Do you think
at some point... Yeah, that's what I mean. It's South Park. I'm not a South Park fan. Do you think at some point... do you think we're almost being too politically correct? And, like, stemming back then to our conversation with SkillUp, this looks like a gun and it looks like you're shooting a gun, so YouTube's going to demonetize your video. At what point do we stop being so PC?
If you don't want to play, don't play it. If you're offended by it, don't play it.
That's what it comes down to. We've got an R18 plus rating for a reason. You should have every game technically should be able to get released, and then you decide whether you want to play it.
If it's a shit game, it's not going to get played. If it's a violent game, it might get played by people who like violent games. Doesn't mean they're going to go out and kill everyone.
Yep.
I don't know.
100%. Don't let your kids play it. But that's what the R18 for.
Maybe if you want to give your kids some instructions on how to do lap dances. I fucking don't know what you want to do with your kids. Really, I don't know.
I was kind of wondering where you're going with that.
Yeah. The Super NES Classic has gone on sale in the US a few days ago, about a week ago or so, and sold out in like hours. Didn't see that coming. Did not see that coming.
Just like the Xbox One X went on sale and sold out in hours, apparently. We knew that was going to happen. I don't even know why this is a news article, to be honest. It happens.
Hoping that Nintendo were going to do something that they haven't really done for a while and gauge the market.
We talked about this very point last night. It's like deja vu. Open your pre-orders, say, give us your money, and we'll make one for everyone who wants one, and then we'll stop making.
I'm gonna throw this out here. Again, coming from a large international company, and the way we get stock, right, is really, really interesting. So we've had an issue lately where we've got more orders than vehicles we can supply, right? But we're not going to get more vehicles from factory because then that will throw out the sales plan. So at some point, somewhere, I understand what you're saying, Pete, about give us your pre-orders and we'll make it. But at somewhere, some high-up executive has gone, this is the sales plan for this model. This is what we're sticking to. So no matter how many you pre-order, this is it. And I don't understand why, but there are a lot of businesses, and I'm finding a lot of Japanese-run businesses that operate this way.
Little bit, I'm just going to put out there, a little bit of a difference between a $20,000 manufactured car and a Raspberry Pi and a piece of plastic.
No, it's the concepts are exactly same. The concepts are same.
Yeah, it is. The concept's the same, but the money's not.
Because they've got sales plans, and that's what they've got. You know, this is what we've got. This is where we're going to make our money. We need to make this much to make this much money. If we do more, you know, they've got a whole plan. So,
but if there's a million cars sitting in a warehouse unsold, they lose tens of millions of dollars. If there are a million Super NES classics sitting in a warehouse somewhere, they've lost $30. I don't fucking know. Like, it doesn't cost anything to manufacture those fucking things. It's like a Raspberry Pi with some plastic around it. Like, it's not there, like they're risking.
There is economics like, around the fact that if you do, the more you manufacture, the more it costs you because it costs power and everything and therefore the price technically would cost them, needs to go up. So I understand that point of view, but fuck. Seriously, this is bad customer service. If you've got, like, the NES Mini, people missed out on this machine because they wouldn't make them. And they said, we're not making them anymore.
Scalpers knew it was going to happen and bought 60 to themselves and sold them for $500 or $600 online anyway.
But it's the same thing. Like, you work that into your sales plan. Oh, we sold out. People missed out. Let's double from last time. But they don't feel like they've done that. Like, people were pre-ordering these things on Amazon. Some people were getting things to say, yes, your thing's going to arrive on the 28th of September. Other people were getting, yeah, you might get one.
Maybe.
And this is people pre-ordered within an hour of knowing it. So if you weren't awake for that 1 hour of the day, you miss out. Why is that a fair part of any sales
plan? It's not. But they just shoot themselves. They kind of shoot themselves in the foot, realistically, because the thing that gets me about this is all of these games have been available for years.
For free. They should be on Virtual Console.
On the internet, in many different forms.
Yeah.
And the fact that Nintendo are doing this and making it hard for people to have a legal way to play these games means that people are just going to play them illegally if they want to.
Exactly. Now,
so whatever.
Very simple solution. Right here, Perko, make Virtual Console for Switch, sell these games separately, individually, and you've got the perfect solution.
What about the people who've already bought them for the Virtual Console on the Wii U? Should they have to buy them again?
No, they shouldn't. They should just be one purchase for one copy of the game.
Stop talking crazy, Wilco.
What the fuck are you doing, man? People who bought them on...
Sales plans don't matter.
People who bought the Virtual Console games on the Wii were made to buy them again on the Wii U at a discounted price, like a very discounted price. Whatever. All right, we're going to move on because I've got to stop bashing on Nintendo. I feel really bad about it.
Biomutant. We talked about the trailer last week from the X Just Cause devs. If you haven't watched that trailer, go watch the trailer because it looks really cool. Open world action RPG. However, if you are interested in this game and that trailer, don't go watch the gameplay.
No, it looks pretty rough, huh?
Do it.
It looks...
Wow. they recreate the trailer. So usually you see a trailer and you go, okay, that's never going to be in the game. They recreate it point for point exactly how it was in the trailer, which is the worst thing you could do because you can then see the massive disparity. So normally you just go, okay, here's the gameplay, nothing to do with it, so you can't compare it. This is beat for beat exactly what's in the trailer, but in gameplay, and it just looks terrible. So that cool bit where he rolls into the wall and all of a sudden these eyes pop up.
In gameplay, he rolls through the floor and the game glitches out and he ends up in Mass Effect.
And then there's this weird thing that happens and then this bomb starts going and he just casually walks away from it, and then all of a sudden there's a whole scene where there's these red things. These things come down with red eyes. They don't even pop out of the black. Don't watch it. Don't do it. But it's there. That's the news. That's that there is some gameplay that came out of Gamescom. It's out there. Yeah, cool.
Speaking of killing things, can we please, Square Enix, if you are listening to me,
how good is this, Paco?
Can you please not do an Assassin's Creed Final Fantasy 15 crossover? Please?
Lily. It's a marketing gold. How
Why?
Good is
Where
this,
was this a good idea? Where was any of this?
So from what I've understand, I haven't looked into it too much, but the Final Fantasy side of things, well, it'll actually transform one of the towns into a Egyptian-looking area, and you'll get an Assassin's Creed outfit.
You know what I thought? You know what I thought when I was playing Final Fantasy 15? When I sat down and I was playing this game and I was kind of disappointed by the fact how I'd waited 11 years for a bad Final Fantasy game, I sat down and I thought, you know what would make this game good? Assassin's Creed.
Oh, shit. I don't even...
I know we don't talk about our Twitch chat, but I've just got to bring this up once. Now, you had Whiplash all concerned then, because he was expecting you to say not to make Secret of Mana, which we haven't put in...
No, we haven't put that in.
...the
no.
news.
Yeah, the remaster. No, we're remaking that, but whatever. I don't want to touch
but
that.
But didn't you ever want to talk about Assassin's Creed and Final Fantasy sharing a universe?
No.
Seriously?
No, just... Can we not?
I want to know the story of how this came to be, because you've got Ubisoft, you've got Square Enix. These guys have never really worked together in anything before that I can think of. Who sat down? Who went to who and said, "Hey, can we borrow Assassin's Creed for a moment? Just, you know, just this little project we've got. People love it. People will love it." Or is this Mario vs. Rapids coming back to haunt?
I don't know what this is. I think this is Square Enix going, let's put the nail in the coffin. Let's make we never have to spend another 11 years on another Final Fantasy again.
For the other way. So the Final Fantasy to go into Assassin's Creed, because I'm really just waiting to see how they're going to justify summoning Bahamut out of the fucking sky, right, and then shooting it with one arrow and killing it. I don't know. I'm just waiting.
You just call one of your fucking guild members in, one of your Templars in, or something. It's just Sephiroth. You fucking
he's dressed like.
No, it's you and your posse going to drive a car around Egypt.
Drive a car around Egypt.
The cool beach.
Take photos. Go fishing.
God, just...
This has to be Square Enix, doesn't it? They have to be trying to milk as much out of that 11-year development cost to try
know.
And get this game.
Because World of Final Fantasy
going.
Was good. I don't know.
Yeah, but it didn't cost them 11 years of development.
And it was better than Final Fantasy than Final Fantasy 15. I'll say Final Fantasy 15, good game, bad Final Fantasy. That's all I'm going to say about it. Going back to Whiplash in the sort of chat thing, I actually haven't read up too much on this whole Secret of Mana remake that they're doing.
He's pretty excited about it.
Please don't fuck it up. Please. the same thing I say about Final Fantasy 7. Just don't fuck it up, guys. Like, you're dealing with good content, arguably some of the best content you've ever created. Just don't fuck it up.
Cool. I think you're asking too much.
Then we're cool. Square Enix. Then we're cool. There's a new GTA expansion. Apparently.
Are you talking about Smuggler's Run? I'm assuming, yeah. So this is another online... mode.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, you think it's single player content? You fuck you doing, Wilco? They make too much money off GTA Online.
You wrote in GT5 expansion, and I'm like, fuck, I thought I would have heard about something like that. But no, this is the online smugglers run, so you'll be flying planes through the center of town trying to stop smugglers. It looks really good, and every time I hear smugglers run, I think of the best game ever made on PlayStation 2, and I want to just go back and play that, to be honest. So yeah, that's where I'm at. PS2, PS3, no, it's PS2, definitely PS2.
Yeah, alrighty. Well, I mean, that's all the news we got. We've been running a little bit late tonight anyway, so we will start to sign this thing out. Guys, what are we looking forward to? Wilco, I'm looking at you.
Oh, just sorry, I read Whiplash's. He's written a novel in the chat as a response. You have to go read that later. I am looking forward to Mario Rapids straight after this podcast. I'm going to give it a go and do a Let's Play, which I'll put up on the YouTube channel later, and play a bit more of it tomorrow. But Destiny...
Stop everything. I didn't talk about the Path of Exile news.
Yeah, keep going. So cool.
You're doing Mario Plus Rabbids, okay? And then what else are you looking for?
I forgot.
I'm also looking forward to the big night we've got planned tomorrow night for Destiny 2 beta. So it looks like we've got about 7 or 8 guys going to be jumping on Discord. And so we get a couple of fire teams going. And it's going to be really good fun. So check that one out. Everybody's Golf on Thursday will be on my stream. And then Friday probably... I'm just going to make Friday's Player Unknown Battlegrounds. Yeah, cool. I think it's just what I seem to be playing every time. So really looking forward to that, and obviously gearing up for PAXI. Hopefully some big news on that next
good
week.
Shit, good shit.
Yeah.
Because... Josh, what are you looking forward to?
Mario Plus Rabbits as well. Seeing some time into that. I'm looking forward to finishing my Agents of Mayhem review and actually finishing that game. And then we've got Destiny 2 in what, 2 weeks? 1 week?
Yeah,
apparently.
You know? And then
two, I think, yeah.
PAX. And then, of course, everything else that I said to the wife tonight when I got home, I said, okay, this is the first of the next onslaught of games over the next 3 months, because I don't know, I think there's 6 or something that I've got lined up already. So I'll find some time to play them all, I'm sure.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to Destiny 2 and looking forward to PoE because... Gotcha, you bastards.
And that's all the time for tonight, everyone.
Nah, really quickly, I'm looking forward to PoE because there's a whole bunch of shit that's coming out with this new expansion. So some weird shit happened where like people found a language and the devs have been teasing like this language, how there's more meaning in it and stuff, and this weird stuff that's happening. And like today, people saw a bunch of red portals appear in the game. And then all of a sudden the servers went down for maintenance. And everyone's like, what the fuck just happened? So a lot of people are now speculating that we haven't seen everything from this new expansion. That sort of the devs are hiding or there's going to be some event, which is awesome. I'm keen for it. I can't wait for it. Anyone who doesn't like Path of Exile is wrong, you bastards. But anyway, yes, other than that, I'm looking forward to Destiny 2. I'm looking forward to playing more Pyre. I'm really enjoying that game. And I'm looking forward to getting back into Tekken 7. Because I'm not angry enough lately. So I'm going to get the fight stick, dust the dust off the fight stick, get back into Tekken 7 this weekend, and start playing some Brian Fury again. But yeah, Wilco, where can we catch you if we want to catch you, man?
You can catch me at Wilco Shield Zone, which if you're watching the live stream, you're already there, but also on Twitter as well and all the other places like that. Ultra Super Mega... underscore at the end is the Twitter account too that I run, so check that out. And about 50 million other podcasts, so check out Super Hype Train. It is really good. Type it into iTunes or Stitcher or any other place where you get the things. Give us a review, check that out. Locked On, a Tom Clancy podcast, and the Mega Pokecast, which is still moving along very well. So yeah, that's where you can get me.
Josh, where can we catch you?
Super Mega Josh on the Discord and Twitter. And then generally on the PlayStation is where I live, but I've put that down for some time for the Switch, so get onto me on the Switch with the friend code and the app and the thing. And
876-542-93929-8742-978-9ABX-*.
That's the one.
Good. All right. Fantastic. You can catch me at Super Mega Matthew on Twitch. And in our Discord channel, if you want to come and join, we've got a really good community. We play a lot of games, give each other a lot of shit all the time. It's a fantastic Australian community. And head to our website, ultrasupermega.com.au. We have reviews coming up soon, write-ups on packs, all sorts of stuff. That's ultrasupermega.com.au. And we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Okay, see you. Bye.